It's every other Friday, which means that once again, it's time for us to let you free feed listeners in on the worst kept secret in podcasting. You're missing out on exceptionally good episodes by not being a Patreon subscriber. For our latest patron-exclusive episode, I got together with everyone's favorite ex-host, Ray Barnholt, and Necrosoft boss, Brandon Sheffield, to talk about the history of Taito in the first of several episodes spanning the company's career. Between the Egret 2 Mini and the Milestones collection, Taito has been on a roll lately, so we roll tape on Taito to discuss their origins and early hits. This episode is exclusive for our $5 a month tier subscribers, but don't worry, you also get a bunch of other stuff for signing up. To your backlog of bi-weekly exclusive episodes, a couple of years of This Week in Retro columns by Diamond Fight, and even Discord access. If you like what you hear in this Taito history sampler, why not invade our space at patreon.com/retronauts. It's been a long time coming. We've talked about some of the other arcade giants, such as Namco, Atari, Williams, probably some others that are Konami, maybe. Yes, Konami. So it's been a long time coming, but this was specifically prompted by the advent of the Egret 2 Mini, which might be the best mini console style device ever. I don't know. Where do you guys stand on this thing? What are your feelings on it? We can talk about this a little bit, even though it really goes well beyond 1985 to really to 2022.
I mean, yeah. I love the rotating screen. I mean, it's nice to have just a little action that you can do with one of these mini consoles that isn't that feels satisfying, but isn't even the game. And so I think that's pretty neat. It is pricey, which is a tough one for me. Yeah. And I've heard a couple things about a little latency and in some of the games. But otherwise, I don't know. It's a good selection of video games. Taito has some hot stuff, especially in the 90s. But, you know, they got some good stuff earlier on, too. So I don't know. I think it's great. I also do sort of wish it were a similar size to the other arcade machines that are out there. But. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's a big one. Not so many after all, but nonetheless, it does make a statement, I think. And it is very cool with its rotating screen, of course. Rotating screen that is just like makes a statement itself. It has a big, huge chonk noise that occurs when you push it in and out and stuff. It is pricey, but you get 40 games with it. 10 more, I believe, if you get the paddle controller, which I did, of course. Yeah. And it's probably the best that these things may get for the near future.
Yeah, I agree with the praises and the complaints. It is pricey, but I feel like what you get for that money is really extremely well made, just on the manufacturing side. And I have seen complaints about the latency. I haven't really encountered anything that messed up my experience with it, and I'm pretty sensitive to that sort of thing. So it's not too bad. But the thing I really love about it is, besides the rotating screen, which is nice because I always like to see, you know, vertical games on a vertical screen. And it is a really cool feature that, seems kind of obvious, but also seems really complicated to manufacture and, you know, like a very significant potential failure point for a device. So I kind of can't believe it's actually a reality, but it is. And that's great. But I also really love the spinner controller. Of all these little mini arcade machines, mini consoles, etc., that I've messed with, which has been quite a few at this point, nothing has felt as good and as true to the arcade as that Taito spinner. It's got weight to it, and it's got just the right amount of resistance and give. It's really, really good. And, you know, compare the mini controller and the way it plays Arkanoid to like the VAUS controller for NES and the way it played Arkanoid. And even though they're supposed to be, you know, basically the same device, like the mini just feels so much better, which, you know, the VAUS controller is 35 years old. So maybe that's not a fair comparison, but it's just so well made and so nicely engineered. Yeah. It's very, very satisfying. So
yeah, I think it's neat how the Taito has really felt like they need to keep that spinner controller alive. They did it for the Arkanoid on the DS as well. They just like whenever they can, they bring that thing back. And I think it's cool to keep a vintage form of game control that was very important for many years alive. And I also appreciate how the, back to the screen thing, the kind of removal and reinsertion of the screen is a very simplified representation of the actual action that you have to do to rotate those screens on a real arcade machine. Because like people may or may not know this, but on most candy cabs, there are screws that you can take out, and then you have to like pull the entire CRT out of the unit, rotate it, slot it back in, and then screw everything back in. But most of those, you know, like the Astro City and Jalico's, whatever the heck that was called, I don't remember what it was called. But all of those, almost all of those had the ability to take out the screen and then rotate it to be vertical or horizontal. And so it's, but the operation was very similar. It was like, do something, pull the screen out, rotate it, push it back in. So I think it's really neat that it's like, it's the same function, just much simpler.
Yeah. I like that Sega just kind of said, you know what? That's just too much trouble. Let's just make a separate machine that has a vertical screen. And yeah, you know, yeah, that's fair, but
it's fair enough.
But yeah, it is nice that it really kind of recreates the whole setup, which is cool. But you know, on the subject of the spinner controller, one thing that I think is great about that is that, you know, so many arcade games did use unique setups. They used controls that didn't carry through to become standards. And a lot of those tend to be given short shrift or forgotten or just really poorly reproduced in modern devices. And so, you know, the fact that they put out a spinner controller and nearly a dozen games that go with it, I think, you know, speaks well to their respect for kind of that legacy, and also an understanding that, yes, these games do play better when you have the proper controller. Like, you know, going back to Arkanoid on NES, you can play that with a D-pad, but it sucks and you're not going to get far because it's so imprecise and it just doesn't have the analog precision that you need. Like, you can't tell the VAUS paddle at the bottom with a D-pad, like, move only a tiny amount very slowly or move really fast over to the side. It's going to be, you know, a digital action. It's there's no movement curve, basically, right, no acceleration curve.
Yeah, which they tried to compensate with, like, when controllers had more buttons, like, you know, the Super NES Arkanoid. It's like you hold the, you know, hold the shoulder button to go a little bit faster.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But then you're doing like crazy Street Fighter type button management, right, for a paddle game, and it's fun.
Yeah. So just having, you know, the game reduced back down to its essence and given that controller for things like Arkanoid and Camel Tree, it's good. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate the fact that they actually manufactured a good spinner as opposed to like arcade 1-Up spinners, which are terrible and don't feel satisfying at all. So I would love to see more of that sort of thing happen. But I realize it's very boutique, and it works for a boutique product like this, where it's, you know, hardcore game developers really appealing to just hardcore game fans. And it's a small, a very, you know, by nature, a small audience. But as someone who does kind of fall into that Venn diagram, I'm grateful for their fine work.
Yeah, Taito gets it.